Hi, this is Gilbert Gottfried, and I'm here with my co-host, Frank Santopadre, who just stole my bag of animal crackers that I was eating.
You can get it back at the end of the show.
Yeah, he pulled them away from me. He doesn't want me eating during the show.
I need Gilbert to perform.
The lack of professionalism around here.
So this has been,
shortest episode ever.
This shows what a hurry I am to go home.
You really want those animal crackers?
Yeah, right? Yeah, I want, yes. This will be Gilbert Gottfried is right now. Gilbert and Frank's Amazing Colossal Obsessions.
Yes.
And the man in the final stages of Munchausen Syndrome by proxy.
These final stages.
All black, blind, skinless, toothless, eyeless.
Eyeless and skinless.
Yeah. Fingernailless.
I like, one of my favorites was napkinless. I still don't know what that means.
Napkinless.
Origamiless.
Yes.
Paul Raybone, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, tracing paperless.
Seems to be a paper obsession with him. I have something for you, Mr. Gottfried.
Okay.
This is a gift sent by a former guest. Can you open it up and see what it is? What's in there? That's yours. I got one. And now you have one.
Mr. Skin, latest Mr. Skin.
It's Mr. Skin's memoir. How about that? From our friend.
We'll have to have him back on the show.
Our wonderful friend Jim McBride. Thank you, Jim, for the book. Yeah. Now he's going to be distracted looking at the book for the entire episode.
Yeah, we'll have to have him back on the show because it's like, that's one I feel like my whole life has been researching.
Written by Jim McBride with Matthew Klickstein, forward by Adam Carolla. And what is the publication date on that? I guess we'll find out. But that's an advance proof. See, Gibbler, he loves you.
Yeah.
He sent you an advance proof. Were you doing a Beatles thing that I saw on Facebook? You had to pick favorite Beatles songs?
It wasn't anything big. I don't even know what I was there to do an interview.
That's serious.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then they grabbed me and said, oh, could you do this?
Okay. So it turned up on Facebook. We all, speaking of music, we have a surprise for you. Now, I was supposed to play this during the call-in show, which was on your birthday. But I aired. I had a lot on my plate that night, and I forgot. This is a special gift to you from a listener named Jim Wright. And Frank is going to cue it up.
Have we ever met Mr. Wright?
I don't believe we have. I humor him.
Happy birthday to you. I have orange wedges for you. They are under this glass coffee table. Happy birthday to you.
Big finish.
How about that?
Yeah.
The guy's an opera singer.
Yes.
He's a real deal.
That's amazing.
I like the way he worked the wedges
you
and
like
the
that?
Table.
The wedges and the coffee. Got Caesar and Danny in there.
And we're picturing Danny Thomas under the table.
Get your scandals right.
And yes. And Cesar Romero's juice-covered ass.
Jim Wright is a professional opera singer.
Wow.
And he said, he wrote me on Twitter and he said, I recorded a special birthday message for Gilbert. So it's 2 weeks later.
Yeah, so that's fine.
So happy birthday.
That's
pretty
fine.
Impressive,
so
huh?
So if he's recording a song for Gilbert, where do we think he is in his career right about now?
Maybe we shouldn't use his real name.
Yeah.
I thought we would start this mini. We're going to do a music mini inspired by the Casey Kasem meltdown. We did the Casey Kasem a couple of weeks ago. It was very popular.
That's going to be very nice to tie
loved
together.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah. Verderoso has promised that he has other celebrity meltdowns.
I thought it was fucking ponderous.
It was fucking ponderous. We're building a future, a follow-up episode with other celebrity meltdowns. But We were talking about the fucking dog dying dedication.
Yes, yes.
And we got to talking about what song it was, and you said, somehow or ever, we started singing Patches. By Clarence Carter's Patches. We were talking.
I was born and raised down in Alabama in a shack way down in the woods. I was so ragged, my papa used to call me Patches. But I knew he was hurt because he done all he could. My papa was a brave old man. I used to see him with a shovel in his hand. Education he never had. I still remember my dear old dad saying, Patches, we're depending on you, son.
We got the idea.
I didn't see,
you're borrowing from Raymond's.
I didn't see that in my script. Was that in the script?
No. We started talking about depressing songs from the 1970s,
right.
Specifically what I call death songs of the 1970s, right. Which seemed to be a subgenre.
Yeah.
This one, Shannon, was the death dog. The fuck, I gotta talk about a fucking dog dying. That's the line you love so much. This is the actual song. A listener from Cincinnati had requested Shannon as one of Casey's long-distance dedications. So I thought we'd play some of these.
Oh!
And see what your memories of them were.
I got one other tidbit I can add to that.
Go.
So the song went gold, became a worldwide hit. The second single, Springtime Mama, just short of gold. But who or what was Shannon?
Well, you'll tell us after we listen to a little bit of it. Frankie? You remember this one, Gil?
Oh, yes.
By Henry Gross.
Jew.
from Brooklyn.
Another day's at end. Mama says she's tired again. No one can even begin to tell her. I hardly know what to say, but maybe it's better that way. If Papa were here, I'm sure he'd tell her.
Boys kind of a
Beach
thing.
Boys, whole Beach Boys thing.
Yeah, and why was it a Beach Boys
thing? Why was it a Beach? Can I reveal the secret?
Go for
yes.
it.
Shannon was a song written about the passing of Beach Boy Carl Wilson's Irish setter.
There you go.
Of the same name.
That's the story.
Song became a worldwide hit. There
worldwide hit in 1976.
And most importantly, it was sung and written by a Brooklyn Jew. Yeah, that was
absolutely. Yeah, Henry Gross.
Now, there's only I got a quibble here. On
go
this.
Ahead.
It's a she dog, right? Maybe she'll find an island
with a shady tree.
A she dog doesn't need a tree.
Wow,
a boy dog needs a tree.
Wow, now that's
come what on, about shade?
Am
Paul?
I right?
Don't dogs
wow.
have shade?
Wow! Wow! How about this? All of a sudden, Raybone is Run Weatherwax. Okay, that's a lot of information, Paul. You should get a crayon and send a letter to Henry Gross.
Right. Yeah, you're just killing the mood in the room.
He was touring with Carl Wilson, and yes, he heard the story about the Irish setter dying. But that's sad. But the upbeat part of the story is that it became lore on the Casey Kasem.
Oh my God! Show. Yes,
and it's one of the death songs of the 70s.
Is that Don on the phone?
Get where were the pictures I was supposed to see? This song was a certified hit. Number one in Canada, number one in New Zealand.
You can't get bigger than that.
Yeah, did very, very well. I went to the website, the Henry Gross website, and learned all about it. So I have some more here for you, Gilbert, but I'm going to stump you. I'm not going to tell you the name of this one.
Okay.
This is what they call, this is from, by the way, Shannon was from 1976. This is from July of 1975 by an artist named David Geddes, who appears on our countdown tonight twice. It's what's called a teenage tragedy song. Do you know this one?
There's been a couple of I know this. What's that song where someone gets shot?
That could be this one. Here we go.
They sound like angels.
They are, in fact, angels.
I believe so. I believe that's correct.
They had to record it in the Sistine Chapel.
Daddy, please don't. It wasn't his fault. He means
oh,
so
my
much
God,
to me.
Yes!
Daddy, please don't. We're going to get married. Just you wait and see.
That's the black boyfriend, isn't it?
No, I don't think so.
I always thought that.
It's rather politically incorrect.
She called me up late that night. She said, Joe, don't come over. My dad and I just had a fight, and he stormed out the door. I've never seen him act this way. My God, he's going crazy. He says he's gonna make you pay for what we've done. He's got a gun, so run,
Joey, run! Joey,
everybody!
Run.
Daddy, please don't.
Our listeners are screaming.
Yeah. There's one song, it might be this one, where the music goes, da-da-da-da-da-da, you know, it sounds like a gun being fired. Like,
I don't think it's this one.
Oh.
Are you thinking of Indiana Wants Me? The one with the bank robber?
No, it wasn't. It might have been in there, too, but yeah. It had to do with also a girl splitting with a guy.
Well, Joey, I guess Julie accidentally gets shot. You know the story of this song?
She runs to try to tell him to run.
Right.
And at the critical moment, she steps in front of him and takes the bullet.
Now, there might be a sound, a musical sound, that sounds like a gun in there then.
Wow.
When she gets shot.
Yeah, wow. That's the last verse.
I'm sure we'll get like 5,000 tweets. So
when she fell, here's the poetic line. I ran to her. I held her close. When I looked down, my hands were red.
There you go.
Ah,
David Geddes with Run, Joey, Run.
They were doing tie-dye shirts.
Excellent.
Another death song. From 1975.
Is there a way that you could find the ending of that song?
We'll see. We'll cut this up.
Yeah.
See if you can get there, Frank, and see if he hears his gunshot. Now, you went too far.
It's before this.
Oh, yeah. Before.
It's before that.
Yeah. Daddy, please don't. We're gonna get
no, she's clearly
there.
Dying there.
Yeah, yeah. Before.
I saw him there. Behind me.
Watch out!
Then Julie yelled, he's got a gun, and she stepped in front of me. Suddenly, a shot rang out, and I saw Julie fall.
No!
That's not the song.
Wow! Bang. Damn it! Damn it! There
it was close to the end, and by the end, I mean the middle.
right.
There is a song with
a
gun sound.
I like to create a mystery with the mini episodes, so we'll figure that out.
We will return to Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal Podcast after this.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Mr. Geddes will return, but here's one from 1975, July of 1975. I don't know what it is about the 70s, but maybe you know this one, Frank. This is a cover. The original was by Dickie Lee.
Alone until my 18th year, we met 4 springs ago.
Always liked this one.
She was shy and had a fear of things she did not know. But we got it on together in such a super way. We held each other close at night and traded dreams each day. And she said, Rocky, I've never been in love before. Don't know if I can do it. But if you,
you know this song?
This one, I'm not that.
This is called Rocky. By the way, you guys will appreciate the singer, Austin Roberts, was the singer of the Scooby-Doo theme in 1969.
Oh, wow.
Scooby-Dooby-Doo, where are you?
Oh.
We got some work to do now. That's Austin Roberts. He had another hit called There's Something Wrong With Me. This is a cover. Paul, what can you tell us about Rocky?
Well, not too much, except I didn't know Rocky Balboa could sing. That was the surprise.
Oh,
to me. That was
the final verse is his wife. It's a story of young love. She accepts his marriage proposal. They have a baby. And she keeps saying, Rocky, I never had a baby before. Yeah. Don't know if I can do it. And then it turns tragic because she gets sick and dies.
Ah!
And she says, Rocky, I never had to die before. I don't know if I can do it. And then they realize together they have the strength to meet the challenge. So it's a total downer of a song.
Wow.
About young love snuffed out.
Austin Roberts was nominated for 4 Grammys. He was not just a one-hit wonder.
He was not. But this song was not written by him. It was a country hit by a guy named Dickie Lee.
Jumping to a different, I think the song.
Uh-huh.
Where
the
shotgun? Guy, where the boyfriend may have been black, is Can't See You Anymore, Baby.
Oh, what is that? Was that Janice Ian?
I don't know, but it's not a death song. It's not a death song, and it doesn't apply to this episode.
No, he's not killed?
We'll look it up.
Can't see you anymore.
Let's look it up. Let's plow ahead.
Well, I'll play it at home, and I'll put a gunshot. It'll be like Spike Jones.
put a kazoo in it,
yeah,
and a gunshot
and a slide whistle.
I know you know this one. This is arguably the most popular death song of the 1970s from 1973. You got to know this one. It is an Americanized version of a French song called the Le Moribond. Frank.
Oh my God! Yeah.
Goodbye to you, my trusted.
Oh yes,
I love this
yeah.
song. You know this song?
Yes.
Dara knows it. Dara's waving.
We were 9 or 10.
So big great. Hit.
Together we've climbed hills and trees.
Oh, I've been in the hills and the seasons and the sun.
Skinned our hearts and skinned our knees. Goodbye, my friend, it's hard to die.
And the person that we know.
Jerry Lewis is covering season
in the sun. And there's hills and there's valleys. And we go.
Here comes the title.
Pretty girls are everywhere. Think of me and I'll be there. We had joy, we had fun, we had seasons in the sun. But
and
the hills that we climbed were just seasons out of time.
Okay.
You knew one.
Yes, here. And I also know, I don't know his name. I think it may have been something Lucas.
Okay.
There was a serial killer who liked this song.
Yes. I think it's William Henry Lucas.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I was right.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. He was a serial killer, and this was his favorite song.
I'm so sorry that I know that.
Yeah.
But
that's
yes.
his favorite song.
It's not in the wiki write-up of this song, but I don't know why I know that, but I do. This is Terry Jacks, who was in the Poppy family. Remember Which Way You Goin', Billy?
Oh, my God, yes! So, now, no one dies in Which Way You're Going.
No,
it
no.
seems like it. Someone should die.
But Billy,
that.
Don't be a hero.
Absolutely.
Somebody dies, which I don't have this week, but we'll do another part two down the road.
Don't be a fool with your life.
That's it.
I got a tidbit here I pulled out for Gilbert, especially. There were 47 covers of Seasons in the Sun.
Amazing.
But the original was 1973, and what most people don't know is that the flip side was Put the Bone In.
Another song about a dead dog, by the way. It was about burying a pet dog. Put the bone in.
Put the bone in.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, that bone.
It was. Put the Ray bone in.
Yes. Yeah.
I had a totally different picture with
you. I think we had the same picture.
I think so.
I think it was a film with Harry Reams and Tracy Lord.
I'm starting to think like Gilbert.
You are way off course.
And it was called Put the Bone In. Yeah.
There it is. Put the Bone In on Bell Records.
Jeez.
Came out in December of 1973. Terry Jacks. These lyrics were written by the famous poet Rod McEwen. Remember Rod McEwen?
Yes.
And it was an Americanized adaptation of a French song called Le Moribond by the Belgian singer
Jacques
Brel.
That's a very good French accent.
That's a terrible French accent. But it has been called one of the worst pop songs ever recorded. Ranking number 5 in a 2006 CNN poll. Boy, I liked this song when I was a kid. So what do I know? Went to the number 1 in Switzerland, number 1 in Canada, number 2 in the U.S.
And if a serial killer liked it, it has to be good.
12 countries it went to number 1. Sold a lot of records.
Got the Juno Award for Best Single in Canada.
You bet.
Canada has come up a lot tonight for some reason.
I don't know why that is. And I was researching this today, and I wrote to Paul, and I said, let's switch up. We were going to do something different. And I thought, man, there are more death songs from the 1970s. I didn't even bring Billy Don't Be a Hero.
Yeah.
Or any of the other ones. There are a lot of tragedy songs.
So Chicago Died.
Night Chicago Died. That's right. Great. Another one.
And
good
was
call.
The leader of the pack? Did you tell me that was
That's
a different
the
time?
50s or the early 60s.
Goodbye, Yellow Brick Road.
But I will accept Candle in the Wind.
Yes. You know something? I think Leader in the Pack has kind of like a sound effect in it.
They've got they gun the motorcycles.
It's a motorcycle.
Yeah, but not a gunshot. It might be a backfiring motorcycle.
Maybe.
All right, we're going to put it out to our listeners. What is Gilbert's gunshot song that Gilbert's trying to think of?
Then there's that other song. You might be getting to it soon, or maybe on a future one. About throwing the strange thing over the bridge.
Oh, Billy Joel, the Ode to Billy Joel.
Yes.
That's another
yes.
one. Yeah, Bobby Gentry.
Yeah.
Ode to Billy Joel, which Max Baer made the movie out of.
Yeah.
Yes, also counts as a death song. I did not choose that one.
No.
But we can do a part
that
two.
I can't see you anymore.
Could that have been Janice Ian, Society's Child?
Oh, I think so.
It sounds like Janice.
Yeah. Could be. Don't bother looking for a gunshot in it. We'll do it later. Here, Gil, here's another one by David Geddes of Run, Joey, Run fame. This one came out in 1975. It was also a country hit for an artist named Kenny Starr. Do you know this one?
The video hands moving is disturbing.
It's a little like Patches. Terms of melody.
He's just the blind man in the bleachers.
it's not about Ray Bones.
Way back in the stand. And he listens to the play-by-play, just waiting for one name.
Sounds like Andy Kaufman.
He wants to hear his son get in the game.
You know this song, The Blind Man in the Bleachers?
But the boy's just not a hero.
I don't think so.
He's strictly second team.
We'll play a little of it.
Though he runs each night for touchdowns in his daddy's sweetest dreams, he's gonna be a star someday, though you might never tell. But the blind man in the bleachers knows he will. It's the last game of the season on a Friday night at home. And no one knows the reason why the blind man didn't come. And his boy
sometimes turns around and stares, just as though he sees the old man sitting there.
Okay, so I guess you can figure out what happens by the end of the story.
No. I guess he wins the game. He's got to win the
Paul,
game.
Paul, do you want to explain?
No, I didn't know that was a new one.
Now, was the blind man dead?
The boy eventually helps rally his team from a deficit and get a come-from-behind win, but in the post-game huddle, the boy becomes emotional, and when asked to explain why he played so well, he reveals that his father had died earlier in the evening, which is why he was not at the game, because his dad has attended every game, the blind man in the bleachers. Presumably, he has gone to heaven and now granted eyesight to watch his son play.
Oh.
That's,
get down on the phone.
Nah. Get down on the phone? Get
down. Fucking ponderous.
This is the 1970s idea of pop songs. A blind man watching his child play football and dies.
Now, I'm kind of hung up on a couple of things Gilbert raised earlier.
Unrewarding.
So,
what can you tell us about Blind Man and the Bleachers? And we'll move on to our last one.
It's my new favorite song.
I wanted to plug a couple of holes, things that Gilbert raised. Can't See You Anymore is definitely Society's Child.
Yeah, it's Genesee.
And
great Genesee.
And here's how it starts. Come to my door, baby. Face is clean and shining, black as night.
Yes!
It's a story of a forbidden interracial romance?
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly what it is.
I never knew what that song was about.
My mother came to the door. She called you boy instead of your name.
Ah!
About that.
Wow, I knew that one. Yeah.
You got that one.
Still, I don't think there's a gunshot. So
there's no gunshot?
We're going to leave that open. What do you know about the blind man and the bleachers, Paul?
I don't know anything. Completely,
David Geddes was the American singer.
Was the same guy who did
Run Joey Run.
Run Joey Run.
Yeah, so apparently death songs were his thing. And it was covered the same year, Gilbert, by country music artist Kenny Starr. And the song peaked at number 2 on the Hot Country Singles chart. How about that?
Boy, oh boy.
I stumped you with a death song?
Yeah.
All right. Is it your new favorite? Does it replace Patches?
Once he starts off by saying the blind man and the bleachers, I said, this is the best opening for any song ever.
And ironically, Raybone didn't know anything about the blind man and the bleachers.
Well, I couldn't see the guy.
Exactly.
What do you want?
My friend Ann Brooks, I want to give a shout out to, turned me onto that song years ago.
Makes
me think of her.
That's a great one.
Okie doke. And we'll do more as we go forward, but that's it for what I compiled from the 70s. But I brought you one bonus song from the 1960s. It did not make the cut because it's 1968. So it would be a whole separate episode. It would be death songs of the 60s, which we don't have time for. But down the road. So I know you know this one, Gil. Mr. Verderosa, if you will.
See the tree, how big it's grown.
Oh,
but friend,
yes.
It hasn't been too long.
Oh, is it a girl's name or? Yeah. Ah, what's that? Oh, I know this.
I laughed at her and she got mad the first day that she planted it.
Is it Beth?
Was just a twig. Then the first snow came and she ran out to brush the snow away so it wouldn't die. Came running in, all excited, slipped and almost hurt herself, and I laughed till I cried. She was always young at heart, kinda dumb and kinda smart, and I loved her so. And I surprised her with a puppy, kept me up all Christmas Eve, 2 years ago. And it would sure embarrass
her. He's never going to get to it.
The chorus comes at the very end.
Chorus is the end with a gunshot.
They don't write them like that anymore.
I bought a pair of shoes, but they were a half size too small.
Here comes the title.
And honey, I miss you.
Oh, honey,
it's called honey.
Oh, honey.
And I'm being good.
It's a very, very very sad song.
Yes.
And I'd love to be with you if only I could.
By the great Bobby Goldsboro from 1968. What can you tell us, Mr. Ray Bone?
Well, I first of all, I would not play that with Casey Kasem trying to come off of a tempo.
A goddamn death dedication.
Song.
Fucking
I would get down on the phone immediately.
Yeah.
No, not too much. I did pull out, can anyone name any of Bobby Goldsboro's other songs? Oh, I have two here.
Gosh. Ooh. Oh, my gosh. Well, there was Autumn of My Life.
Autumn of My Life. That's
yeah,
one.
I remember that one.
I think Gilbert can get the other one.
Ooh.
Hit me.
See the Funny Little Clown.
Oh.
Bobby Goldsboro, the song's narrator mourns his deceased wife, beginning with him looking at a tree in their garden and remembering how it was just a twig on the day she planted it.
Well, I'm going to go home and kill myself.
That's the object of
sure, yeah.
There is a book I will send to our listeners. I think it's called I Hate Myself and I Want to Die or something. Maybe you can look it up, Paul, if mm-hmm. you got internet over there. Mm-hmm. Somebody did a book, a paperback book, about the death songs of the 1970s. And I think it's called that. I think it's called I Hate Myself and Want to Die or something very similar. The single about the loss of a spouse hit number one the week after Martin Luther King was assassinated in Memphis in 1968 and spent 5 weeks at number one. How about that? You know how many people have covered this song? Ed Ames, Eddie Arnold, Percy Faith, Frankie Lane, Dean Martin, Roger Miller, Patti Page.
And Kiss.
No, not Kiss.
Oh. Kiki D.
Nope, not Kiki D.
Captain Antonio.
Kiki D. Where does he come up with them? Roger Whittaker, Lawrence Welk, John Neville. Wow. Hank Snow. Yeah. But my memory of Bobby Goldsboro is, remember the old Mike Douglas show? They used to have co-hosts?
Yes.
A guest would co-host for a week. The things that stay with you. I'll never forget Bobby Goldsboro telling a story of how he came downstairs in the middle of the night barefoot to investigate a noise and cut his toe on a Rice Krispie.
See, that was
that's
exciting.
That's worse than death.
Huh? This was television of the 70s. Death television of the 70s.
Can I just put one out here as,
go ahead.
Just as a teaser for the next time we look at some of these things? I'll just give you the title. My baby's character in the Driver's Ed movie.
What are you talking about?
This is a death song.
Does he know which podcast this is?
No! He has no idea!
It's a death song!
Don't wake him up. This could get good.
She's the unfortunate victim in the Driver's Ed movie, which is what this...
What are you referring to? Is this Janice Ian again?
No, I think
he's finally gone over the edge.
I think Dara Paul snapped.
You know, we don't have time for it in this episode, but I did get an email early with a lot of links to a bunch of songs written in the early 2000s, by a neurologist in Chicago.
No kidding.
Yes.
And they're really
about
the vein of what
I think he was in Ohio.
Yeah. Oh, Ohio, right.
Well, I will bring you, Kiki D, I will bring you another batch. I got the music in me. I will bring you another batch of death songs the next time we do this.
Okay.
Like Billy Don't Be a Hero, and what was the other one you brought up?
Oh,
to Billy Joe.
Yes.
The list goes on and on. Did you find that book, I Hate Myself and Wanna Die?
I can't. That's when I came across the Driver's Ed movie, so I stopped right there.
Okay, I think that's the name of the book, but I'll put it up on social media.
What is it, I Hate Myself, I Wanna Die?
I think that's the name of it.
Now, who was in to Billy Joe?
Robbie Benson,
of course. Yeah, that's what I thought.
And Glynis O'Connor.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
I was picturing Robbie Benson in my mind, and I was saying, oh, this is going to fucking kill me.
There you go.
Yeah.
Oh, Frank's got a good one to take us out with. All right, Frankie, perfect.
I Hate Myself and Want to Die.
That's the book.
That's the one.
Okay. Who's the author?
Let's see here. It's the 52 most depressing songs you've ever heard. Let me find the author here.
Well, while Paul is finding the author,
Tom Reynolds.
Tom Reynolds. We'll sign off.
We're to the tones of Kiki D.
And Reggie Dwight. Thank you, Francis.
This has been Gilbert and Frank's Amazing Colossal Obsessions. You take the weight off of me.
Look at Paul dance. Where'd you get those moves?
I saw them do this live in 1974.
Wow.
Dating myself.
Now, did she do a song with Paul McCartney, too?
No.
No.
She had a hit called I Got the Music in Me.
Yeah.
On Elton's It label.
Oh, maybe Elton John pops up in one of her songs. I know there's something that they do something after.
Is there a gunshot?
Yeah! Elton John shoots Kiki D at the end of this song. And then Elton John's dog dies.
All right!